Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, Packer fans? Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Appreciate you guys being here. You're the absolute best. Today is the official end for me of NFL draft season, in a way. We're going to be going over all the undrafted free agents. Not a full deep dive of all of these players. It's still going to be a pretty intensive dive into each of these guys, but not quite the full deep dive that we've been doing for all of the drafted players. I still had the opportunity to watch tape from 2023 from these guys. So still going to be well informed and talking through all the things that you need to know about these undrafted free agents. We still have a little bit of the daily draft left from Ross. So a few episodes left of that. I think the fourth through seventh round picks, he is still going to go through over the course of the next week, week and a half. But for me, this is basically the end of draft season. This upcoming week, we've got an OTA that's open to the media on Tuesday. Looking forward to going to that. As I mentioned on my members Q&A yesterday, I've got a full notebook of stuff here that I am dying to dive into now that it's sort of past the draft stuff. But as I said, today we've got one more episode left, and that's going to be recapping the undrafted free agents. Now, one undrafted free agent in particular is Donovan Jennings, who is sort of their priority undrafted free agent. I am going to go through a little bit of his breakdown at the end, but I did do a full deep dive on Donovan Jennings for our members on the Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube channel. If you're interested in checking that out, you can, again, check that over on the YouTube channel. Again, for members, you can get signed up for as little as $3.99 a month. It's definitely worth it. Members-only episodes, members-only Q&As, early access to every episode. Like I said, it pays for itself. But if you want to check out the full Jennings episode, that is over on the YouTube channel, again, for members. But we'll go through everyone else today that's on the undrafted free agent side. And we'll also go through Donovan Jennings just a little bit at the end of today's episode as well. Also, since we're talking about it, shout out to Dominic Ramirez for becoming a brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. Appreciate that a ton, Dominic, and hope you are enjoying the heck out of it. So let's start. Let's go over these undrafted free agents. I talked all draft season long about wanting a Jaden Hicks, the safety out of Washington State. I got no Jaden Hicks, but we did get a Julian Hicks. And Julian Hicks, surprisingly enough, was not one of their undrafted free agents as soon as the offseason and or as soon as the draft ended. He was not a priority undrafted free agent signing. He was a rookie mini camp tryout player. And of all the rookie mini camp tryout wide receivers, he wasn't even necessarily the one that stood out the most. That was Dimitri Stanley, who we'll talk about in just a second here. But Julian Hicks was still the guy that they signed after rookie minicamp along with Dimitri Stanley. And he was the player out of all the players that I'm going to talk about today, actually even more than Donovan Jennings, that stood out to me most on tape. He was incredibly, incredibly impressive. Unfortunately for all of the undrafted free agents, we don't know their ages. They're not listed on Packers.com. They weren't listed on any other site that I could find. So we don't know the ages of these players. That will come, I guess, when they finally list them on Packers.com, but they're not up there yet. But Julian Hicks is a wide receiver out of Albany, 6'2", 201 pounds, had a relative athletic score of 9.18. A 91.8 percentile athlete at wide receiver. That's pretty impressive for a rookie tryout mini camp wide receiver. PFF had a 74.0 grade on him last year, 65.6 the year before that, followed by 57.6, 55.4, and 63.1 over his five seasons in college football. This past season, he had 50 catches, 820 yards, and 11 touchdowns. So pretty impressive statistics as well. 820 total yards and that 11 touchdowns. Nothing to really, you know, laugh at from a, you know, Albany wide receiver. Again, that's just a rookie mini camp tryout guy. Here were my notes on him. First of all, willing to work over the middle. He's got that really nice 6'2", 201 frame with good athleticism, and he was pretty fearless over the middle. Had no issues, you know, going there and, you know, sort of using that frame to box out a little bit. I was impressed with his ability to do that. He also understands how to work in zone coverage. He sat down in the middle of those zones in the middle of the field, but he also understood how to navigate when to continue on with his route, when to sit down, when to sort of maybe change it up a little bit. That was impressive to me as well. Very natural hands catcher, plucks the ball away from his body. Really impressive releases off the line of scrimmage. I posted a video and somebody said, that looks like Davante Adams, and let's not get too carried away here, but he does have an impressive release game off the line. And, you know, he has that little like sort of hesitation, like jump fake one way. It's almost like a crossover in basketball. And then he crosses over the other way and he gets a really clean release. And again, when you're at Albany, you're going to get some, let's just say, not exactly NFL caliber corners going across from you the vast majority of the time. So we'll see how he can do that against NFL level competition. But overall, I thought his releases were clean and just kind of fun to watch more than anything. He definitely showed some deep ball ability. He got open deep on numerous occasions, and some of those 11 touchdowns were not cheapies. They were deep down the field, and he showed the ability to separate, after that second level where corners were staying with him, and then he had sort of a late break on the ball and just showed the ability to separate deep, which again, 6'2", 201, 9.18 relative athletic score. He showed that off, on those deep ball opportunities. Good overall size. Showed late hands. This is another thing where you're not necessarily expecting this out of an Albany wide receiver that's not touted at all by anyone. You know, the ability to have the ball thrown your way, little air under the ball, and not tip your hand until the final catch point. I'm not saying he did it consistently, but I saw it. I saw it on tape. I saw he knows how to do it. And he did it on a couple different occasions in a couple different ways. One just flashing late hands at the end, but the other was sort of jump ball, not jump ball, but like a back shoulder fade where like he didn't tell at all, like the ball was coming his way. And then at the last second stopped and came back to the ball and the corner was just left wondering what the heck just happened. So that's been super impressive to watch from him. Ability to cut off his route at the break point. It's another thing. Like you talk about big 6'2", 201 wide receivers. They're usually not necessarily, not all of them, at least some of the best ones, of course, in the NFL can snap off that route right at the break point. And he shows the ability to do that. You know, and I think sometimes when you have that ability to have that speed over the top and corners have to play you that way, you know, they can sometimes let some of those things go. And he shows the ability and the propensity to be able to sell like he's going deep down the field and then snap that route off, come back to the football, and just sort of make those possession wide receiver catches both outside and over the middle of the field. I talked about a little bit that late separation that he shows breaking on the ball down the field. Definitely showed some run after the catch ability. I mentioned that play where the back shoulder fade, where he didn't tip his hand and came back to the ball. On that particular play, he's along the sidelines. It's probably at their own 20, 30 yard line. He catches the ball at about the 50 yard line, does a great job, back shoulder fade, coming back to the ball, corners left in the lurch, then like sort of makes a move, breaks an ankle tackle, then takes an unbelievable angle upfield, erases the safety, and goes the extra 50 yards for a touchdown. And he showed some ability to run after the catch, make a guy miss, break a tackle here or there. So he's got some of that at his disposal as well. Back shoulder fades, definitely something that he's adept at. The red zone work was, I didn't even have this, but now that I'm just kind of thinking of it as I'm going through, there were some really impressive catches in the red zone that he showed the ability, not the back shoulder fade, but also just the fade in the back of the end zone. And again, that release game is really helping him in those situations as well. Get off the line of scrimmage, avoid the jam, then get upfield, and then just back of the end zone over the shoulder catch. He's kind of showing off a variety of different things. His blocking does need a lot of work. If that's the biggest issue here, again, that we're talking about, not a huge issue, but you do want to clean that up, especially if you want to be a wide receiver in Matt LaFleur's offense. He looks and plays like a Packers wide receiver, and quite frankly, like an NFL wide receiver. I'll pump the brakes here in just a minute, I promise you, but I guarantee you, I would be willing to bet you, I'm not sure if I'm willing to guarantee, but I'd be willing to bet you that this is this year's version of the Packers' random undrafted wide receiver that everyone falls in love with training camp. You just watch him and it's hard not to. This is one of those guys where, like, I didn't want to stop the tape. I kind of wanted it to keep going. And he plays like a Packers wide receiver with his route running ability, his releases off the line of scrimmage, ability to pluck the ball out of the air, run after the catch ability. It just sort of looks like a lot of the wide receivers that we've seen in Green Bay over the year that have had success coming in as late round picks, mid round picks, or even as undrafted free agents. Like I said, this is going to be the undrafted guy that people fall in love with. The other issue here too, unfortunately, is he only has 26 career special team snaps. So, and only three since 2019. So he has not shown any special teams ability, which if you're going to be a back of the roster wide receiver, which if you somehow find a way to make the 53 on this loaded class of wide receivers, loaded group of wide receivers, you're going to have to show that you can play special teams. But he has not shown the ability to do that, and certainly not as of late. So that's going to be a really tough thing here for Julian Hicks. As far as pumping the brakes go, the first thing I will say is, listen, he's an overage wide receiver. I don't know his age, but I can tell you because he played for so many seasons in college, transferred schools. You know, his PFF grades outside of this season, 74.0 this season, but before that, were not great. He's coming from a smaller school, and he beat some worse corners. Now he's going to have to go against NFL level corners, which is going to be a change and certainly a challenge for him. And I think the bigger thing where you're, you know, sort of putting a wet blanket on all of this is there's just no room. There's just no room on the roster. We can talk about practice squad, absolutely, but there's just no room on the 53. You know, for an undrafted wide receiver like a Julian Hicks, you know, you're not beating Christian Watson, you're not beating Romeo Doubs, you're not beating Jaden Reed or Dontavian Wicks. Certainly not likely to beat Bo Melton. And then you can, I guess, get into the Malik Heath conversation, the Grant Dubose conversation, the Samori Toure conversation. And then you still have guys like Dimitri Stanley and other guys that they have on the roster that you also still need to beat out. So it's the numbers game here at wide receiver is not great for Julian Hicks. But my final thought here, talented wide receiver, shocked that he was a mini camp tryout guy and that he didn't get an undrafted free agent deal somewhere. But I do believe he should have a real legitimate chance at the practice squad. All right, next up, Dimitri Stanley. Again, age not listed here. Did not have a relative athletic score, so did not do testing either. The Packers listed him. I actually forgot to write this one down. So I am going to check this really quick as I'm doing this. Should have had it ready. My apologies. But they list him as a 6 foot, 200 pound rookie wide receiver wearing number 19. So 6 foot, 200 pounds out of Iowa State is the actual height and weight here. Sorry, I thought I had that listed, but did not have a relative athletic score. Did not see his testing numbers. They didn't have it listed in their database. Per PFF had a 58.4 grade this past season, 58.2 the year before that, 56.1, 66.9, 55.2, and yes, 53.8 over six seasons played in college at both Colorado and Iowa State. 60 again is average in six seasons. He only had one season over that 60.0 average. In 2023, he had a whopping 15 catches for 139 yards and no touchdowns. What I saw on tape, a versatile wide receiver, played outside, played inside, and even lined up in the backfield a little bit, did some gadget play type stuff. He's a good hands catcher, showed the ability to make some difficult catches. More specifically, in the rookie minicamp, had a ridiculous one-handed catch that caught Matt LaFleur's eye, mentioned it after that practice, and is probably a huge reason that he's actually on this roster right now. I thought he lacked any real true dynamic gear or any legitimate big-time run after catch ability. I thought he had a good feel for the position, understands how to use leverage in route running, which can certainly be important. Good in off-script situations. So when the play breaks down and he needs to find a way to create magic, he can do so. And that's something certainly in Green Bay that we've seen a lot of these quarterbacks being able to extend plays, and we're seeing it with Jordan Love as well, that you want wide receivers that have that ability. He definitely showed it in limited opportunities at Iowa State this past season. Had some key drops. Go back to Oklahoma State in 2022. He had a play where he got open down the field. I think he got caught in the sunlight a little bit, but ball goes right through his hands. Probably should have been a touchdown. Then came back later in the game, had a ball that was, you know, a little bit high, but hit him right in the hands and it bounces off his hands and ends up in an interception. So some key drops in that game. to me, practice squad player at best here. I did like what he did at rookie minicamp, though, and he's sort of outshone the guy I just talked about, and how amazing he looked on tape in Julian Hicks. Dimitri Stanley was the guy that stood out a little bit more in that rookie minicamp, so at least he's got that going for him. But again, I think he's a practice squad player at best. Only 148 career special team snaps and only 13 in the past two seasons at Iowa State. That's going to be something he's going to have to improve on. My final thought here, he's got a near impossible task of trying to earn even a practice squad spot with all these wide receivers that are on the roster, but he got off to a great start at rookie minicamp and hopefully he can continue that moving forward into OTAs, minicamps, and beyond. Hey friends, playoff time is the best time to join the Prize Picks community that already boasts over 5 million members. There is no lack of action. We are in full playoff mode in both the NBA and the NHL. Baseball season is just heating up as we head into summer. And don't forget, we have the much anticipated debut of Caitlin Clark in the WNBA this week as well. Whatever it is that gets you excited, Prize Picks has a plethora of picks to add to your excitement and make all the action that much more enjoyable. Testing my skills on Prize Picks has been the easiest, most fun, and most enjoyable way to not only enjoy the games, but to win up to 100 times my money. With the right pick, you could turn $10 into $1,000 by using the Prize Picks app. Their enormous selection of players and stat types are what make Prize Picks the number one fantasy sports app. This week, of course, I'm going with Caitlin Clark. I'm also going with Anthony Edwards, and I got to go with Oshkosh's own Tyrese Halliburton as well. The best part is there are tons of options, and whoever it is that you want to go with, there are a ton of ways to enjoy the Prize Picks app. And as always, the best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. All right, next up, Messiah Swinson, age not listed again, tight end, Arizona State, 6'7", 259 pounds. So big dude, really big frame, and that can certainly help him moving forward. A relative athletic score of 1.50 did not test great in just about anything at all. PFF grades, also not super complimentary. 47.4 this past season, 52.5, 59.4, 65.3, and 41.9 over the last 5 years in college. In 2023, he had an insane 6 catches for 48 yards, an 8-yard average, and 0 touchdowns. So takeaways here, really good effort as a blocker. He's not what I would consider a good blocker. He's a satisfactory-ish blocker, but he does give really good effort as a blocker. And that can be important. That's sort of how Ben Sims started off a season ago, is he was a satisfactory blocker, but he really got better at it and worked at it as the course of the season went on. And it's something that I think Ben Sims got better at. It's something I think Messiah Swinson can get better at. He's not giving you much as a pass catcher, extremely limited run after catch ability. He does have that 6'7 frame with a really big catch radius, and that definitely helps in the red zone and over the middle of the field. He lacks NFL athleticism. He's not a good enough blocker to make up for everything else, basically. He can work over the middle and utilize his frame to box out players, which is, again, definitely helpful. If I were him, and if I were the Packers, I would try to have him put on more functional strength and more weight and continue to develop as a big-time run blocker and see if he can develop sort of into that late career Mercedes Lewis. I'm not saying he's Mercedes Lewis because Lewis' early career was a really good overall tight end. But if you watch sort of what Lewis transformed himself into later in his career when he didn't have the speed, he was basically like an extra offensive lineman out on the field. If I were Swinson, I would try to evolve into that, where I'm not probably ever going to be a great receiving tight end, but guess what? I can be 6'7", and I can be a good blocker. So master that and see if you can find a way to make it as a number three blocking tight end. If you can do that, you can create a 8 to 10 year career in the NFL just by being able to do that in and of itself. He's a ways away from doing that. He's not a good enough blocker yet, but I think there's an opportunity to put him on a practice squad, put some weight on that guy, put some strength on him, and see if he can develop into a really, really good blocking tight end with maybe some red zone ability with that 6'7" size as well. 253 career special team snaps, but he had a horrible special teams grade in 2023 on only 50 snaps or something like 29 point something, which is brutal. My final thought here, though, developmental blocking tight end, possible practice squad option, and would work him in as a run blocker. Next up, Jarvion Howard. Running back out of Elkhorn State, 5'10", 219 pounds, relative athletic score of 7.39. PFF gave him grades of 73.1, 77.2, 72.1, 68.7, and 58.3 over the last 5 years. In 2023, he had 153 carries for 773 yards, 7 touchdowns, 29 catches, and 184 receiving yards. He tested 98th percentile in the bench press, so of all of his relative athletic score stuff, that was what got him the highest, so he's a strong dude. Solid hands out of the backfield, good straight line speed, really good straight line speed. Plays too high at times. I'm going to come back to that, though, but there were definitely times, especially early in the season, that he played too high. Struggles in pass protection, that's something he definitely has to get cleaned up. Shows some tackle breaking ability. Tough to tackle when he runs behind his pads. That's where I wanted to come back to here. When he does run behind his pads and gets lower, he plays with good contact balance, and he's very tough to bring down. And I had this coming up a little bit later, but the difference watching him between the beginning of 2023 and the end of 2023 was striking. He got a lot better as last season went along. I don't know if he figured something out, if he just caught his stride, or maybe he didn't have, you know, come into the season with the right conditioning and that got better as the season went along. I don't know, but he looked unbelievably better at the end of last season, breaking tackles. He looked quicker. He looked faster. He was getting to the outside easier. He was playing lower. I don't know if something just clicked, and hopefully that's the case, because then Green Bay is getting that guy that he figured something out late in his career at Elkhorn State. But he looked a lot better as last season went along. He showed the ability to string moves together. There's this one play, and I posted it on Twitter if you want to go view it, where he gets through the line, he breaks a tackle, he utilizes a spin move, then sort of breaks another tackle, jukes somebody out, and then uses his speed to accelerate past the rest of the defense and goes for like a 40, 50-yard touchdown. It's a beautiful run. He displays a little bit of everything on the PlayStation controller all on one play. It was unbelievable. Again, stuff he was not remotely doing earlier in the season. Good overall vision. I liked what he was trying to do and just, you know, saw how he was setting things up and how he was basically able to see the blocking in front of him and decide quickly what hole he was able to get through. Showed the ability to make decisive and deceiving cuts, meaning his jukes, he would sell them well to get players going one way, and then he would cut back the other, and players bought it. Defenders bought it far more often than not. Speed to bounce outside, especially towards the end of last year, that straight line speed was showing up, and he was able to get outside definitely a lot easier than he was earlier in the season. As I mentioned, thought he found his groove at the end of 2023. And then he's a very decisive runner, but he needs to find a way to be more patient. A lot of times he's just going at one speed and he's just finding the quickest way to get through a hole. That's not always the worst thing, but running plays have a play design, and sometimes he's not letting those get set up and he's just finding the quickest hole possible and then getting through it. Like I said, sometimes that works to his advantage. Sometimes that can be a good thing, but sometimes that can be a bad thing too. And I'd like to see him run with a little bit better patience, at least to switch it up every now and again. But he has had some success with finding those quick creases and getting upfield. So you don't want to necessarily take that completely away from him either. In only 29 career special team snaps, which again, as undrafted guys, you're going to have to find your way on special teams first. My final thought here on Jarvion Howard, legitimate practice squad option. I think he would need a lot in preseason and in training camp to try to supplant AJ Dillon and Emmanuel Wilson and the rest of the running backs on the roster, but I don't think it's a complete impossibility. He was pretty impressive, and again, especially towards the end of last year, but more likely a legitimate practice squad option. James Ester, defensive lineman out of Northern Illinois, 6'2", 289 pounds, had a 4.12 relative athletic score, did not do the 40-yard dash. PFF grades of 71.8, 79.4, 66.8, 70.3, and 68.6 over 5 seasons. In 2023, he had 49 tackles, 6.5 tackles for loss, 4 sacks, 2 passes defended, and 1 fumble recovery. Notes here, lacks any sort of closing burst as a pass rusher. He can get to the quarterback, but he doesn't have that closing speed. And you always want that as a pass rusher. He's more of a slow burn type of defensive tackle. Uses his quick hands to get off blocks. He does show a good arm over move, and he just uses his hands well to negate offensive linemen from getting their hands on him, and he's able to get upfield quickly because of that. Shows the ability to get into the backfield. I thought he showed up really well against Nebraska this past season. You know, when you're at Northern Illinois, you don't always get, you know, Power 5 conferences on your schedule a ton. They had a matchup against Nebraska, and I thought he played really, really well. He keeps working to the football. This is what you want from your big guys, from everyone on the field. But if your big guys are bringing the intensity and showing that they're going to rally to the football, that should hopefully send a message to the rest of the guys playing. But he did a consistent and constant job of rallying to the football and just working his way back to it. Definitely needs to sit and anchor better against double teams. You will see him get kind of blown off the ball sometimes by two offensive linemen, and he just needs to figure out a way to plant himself in the ground and make it so that he's a little less movable, so that he's plugging up those gaps. He constantly battles for everything, and this kind of goes back to rallying to the football, but he just doesn't stop working. You know, I talk about him being a slow burn pass rusher. He keeps working. He doesn't give up on a play. And whether he's going against somebody that's, you know, just a better athlete than him, whether he's going against a Power 5, whatever it is, he just keeps battling on every single play. Plays with good leverage. They had some success using him as a big defensive end. He's 289 pounds, but they put him on the edge sometimes, and he did a good job setting the edge. He also did a good job out there with twists and stunts, showing the ability to loop back inside and get some pressure that way. Would love to see him finish a little bit more in the backfield. That kind of goes back to that closing speed and that burst. He just doesn't have it. And that leaves him wanting, or at least, I guess, you know, anyone watching him wanting a little bit more for him actually finishing those plays in the backfield. Because you do all the hard work to get back there. You would like to finish the play as well. But those agile running backs and quarterbacks just show the ability to kind of get away from him, unfortunately. Not a lot of tricks in his repertoire. He's got that arm over and he can get upfield and he can disrupt, but he doesn't have a lot of other moves at his disposal. He's going to have to continue to work on his pass rush plan. And again, he just gets moved off of his spot far too often. Final thought, legit practice squad option along the defensive line. I think there's some development, you know, potential there overall. Nice overall undrafted free agent signing, but don't think he has any real avenue to a 53 spot, but definitely has some practice squad ability. Raylan Goforth, linebacker out of Washington, 6'1", 227 pounds, 7.81 relative athletic score, did all the testing. PFF grades, ugly, 59.4, 51.1, 37.8, 51.1, and 49.4. Never this season at 59.4 was the closest he graded to average in his entire career per PFF. In 2023, he had 37 tackles, 4 tackles for loss, no sacks, no picks, and 2 pass breakups. He's a smaller, undersized linebacker, has good overall quickness. He's not intimidated despite being undersized. He'll go and attack. He'll take on some blocks. He'll do whatever it needs to be done, but he's certainly not intimidated by being an undersized linebacker. He will, however, get erased by bigger offensive, just offensive linemen will erase him in the running game. He fell off too many tackles. I did feel he had a natural feel for dropping into coverage, which is certainly something that can be to his advantage. Good job covering backs out of the backfield, struggles to get off of those blocks, good nose for screen plays. Caleb Williams easily beat him one-on-one. Goforth had him in the open field, dead to rights. And Caleb Williams just made a move and got past him in 2 separate plays and just outran him. So you don't necessarily want to see that from your linebacker. He has good patience as a linebacker. You will see him overrun a play from time to time, but overall, he stays in his gap. He makes sure that there's no cutback lane. And then when the running back commits, he attacks and goes and makes the play from there. So sometimes patience as a linebacker can be a very good thing. Here's the big thing for Raylan Goforth. 452 career special team snaps and graded extremely well by PFF all throughout his career as a special teamer. One more negative, lack of playmaking. He has 46 career games that he played in. He has 0 career sacks, 1 career interception, and 1 career forced fumble in 46 games. Basically, he made 2 big plays in 46 games. That's not enough, and certainly you'd like to see a little bit more playmaking out of him. My final thought, go make the team as a special teamer. There are players like Christian Welch last year. He was just a special teams guy. if he can go out and be better than Christian Welch as a special teamer, better than a Zane Anderson, better than an Eric Wilson, which he, again, graded fantastic and played a ton of snaps in college on special teams, he can earn a job on the 53 just on that alone. Your job? Go beat Eric Wilson and Christian Welch. Go beat them and be a better special teamer. If you are, you're younger, you're, yeah, I guess, you know, have more upside since you are a rookie, go beat those guys. And if he can do that, that's his way to the 53. Now, Eric Wilson's just a better linebacker than him, so that's a little bit of a tougher job. We haven't really seen Christian Welch as an actual linebacker. He's just been a special teams guy for Green Bay, so, you know, it's tough to compare the two there. But if you want a job, go be the best special teams player on the roster. If Goforth can do that, he has a chance. And if not, then he's going to have to try his best to earn a spot on the practice squad just as a pure linebacker. But I think his potential to make this roster is going to be more special teams related. Speaking of which, Peter Bowden, 6'2", 239-pound line snapper out of Wisconsin, a 6.72 relative athletic score for a long snapper, did not do the three cone, had grades of 66.9, 74.6, and 76.2 per PFF over the last 3 years. Dane Brugler's number one draft eligible long snapper. And here's my notes. He's a long snapper. That's all I got for you. I did watch some long snapper plays. His snaps looked good. That's all I got. My final thought on Peter Bowden, he legitimately has a chance to earn the long snapper spot. You know, their long snappers have not been good. Matt Orzech was not good a season ago. Peter Bowden, again, was Brugler's number one long snapper in this draft. He has every right and opportunity to go earn that job. Hopefully, Green Bay can finally find their next Rob Davis and their next 10-year Brett Goode special teamer that can just sit at long snapper for the foreseeable future, and we don't have to talk about long snapper again for the foreseeable future. And last but not least, Donovan Jennings, like I mentioned, I did do a full deep dive on him, so if you want that, go check out the members-only video. He's 6'4", 323-pound offensive lineman out of South Florida, will turn 25 in November, had a 9.65 relative athletic score, did not do the broad jump. In 2023, he had a 72.8 grade on 812 snaps per PFF. My final thoughts on him, he's a 96th percentile athlete with a ton of experience in college. He's making a transition to a position that much better fits his athletic profile at guard. I think he'll be a much better guard than he was a tackle at South Florida. I do believe he has a clear pathway to actually make the 53-man roster as a guard if he goes out and plays well in training camp and in the preseason. And they gave him $110,000 in guaranteed money. Clearly, the Packers liked him if they were willing to do that. They do not do that very often unless they really like a guy. So clearly, they very much like Donovan Jennings. Again, if you want the full breakdown, it is over on the members-only channel on YouTube. All right, so that does it for me today. Guys, we broke down Jaden Hicks, Dimitri Stanley, Messiah Swinson, Jarvion Howard, James Esther, Raylan Goforth, Peter Bowden, and Donovan Jennings. Guys that I think could legitimately make the 53. Jarvion Howard, an outside chance. Goforth, maybe as a special teamer. Peter Bowden as a long snapper, and then Donovan Jennings as a depth piece along the offensive line. Guy I like the tape the most of, Julian Hicks, was really, really fun to watch. Jarvion Howard had some really impressive stuff as well. And Donovan Jennings definitely was impressive in some of the things that he did at South Florida also. So I like this undrafted free agent class. We'll see if Green Bay can continue their streak and put another guy in the 53-man roster this year. I think Peter Bowden definitely has the best chance to be that guy and actually be an impact player. Listen, if you're the long snapper, that's still an impact player, good, bad, or ugly. You're going to have an impact on games. I think he has the best chance, but excited to watch this undrafted free agent class unfold through the remainder of the offseason and in preseason. That's going to do it for me today. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Shea Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, Dan Miller, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinosa, and Michael Shipper. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.